And over the last 3 weeks, if you remember, we talked about our identity in Christ, and we went. We only mentioned about three of them, but in those three, there was so much more that came about. The first week, we talked about how we have gone from being sinners to being saints, to being from sinners to being called and set apart for holy purposes. And the week after that, we talked about how we are no longer vulnerable, but now that we are eternally secure in God's arms. And then last week we talked about how we are no longer cursed, but we are now eternally blessed. And so I'm going to kind of sum up the last 3 weeks as we finish up this series. And I want to remind you that along with your identity in Christ comes purpose. Along with your identity in Christ comes purpose. And this revelation of your identity in Christ, it unlocks your purpose. It unlocks who you are and what you're supposed to be doing. So we're going to start this morning in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to read through this. It'll also be up on the screen. It says this: "And you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh." Paul's saying we've all been a part of this. We all at one point were following the passions of our flesh. "And we were carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Children of wrath. Subject to God's wrath. Before Christ, subject to God's wrath. But God. Here's that beautiful word, but, again in the Bible. "But God, who is so rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that," very important words, "so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God, not a result of works, so that anyone can boast." Paul's saying that you can't earn this grace. No amount of effort and work and trying and trying and trying will ever earn you this grace. It is simply a gift of God out of his love and his kindness and his mercy towards you. And verse 10, "For we are his workmanship." Other translations say that you are his perfect craftsmanship. Perfect craftsmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You were created for something. You were created for. Created for good works that God prepared in advance for you to walk in. I want to reiterate something that's been mentioned a few times in this series. And it's important to know because it puts everything in perspective. And that is this: you are sitting in the midst of eternity right now. You are sitting in the midst of eternity right now. Your existence in this world is just a momentary part of eternal life. As you have been united with Christ, the Bible says, our identity is with Christ. We have been identified with Jesus Christ. We have been united with him. We are in union with him through salvation and through the grace of God. And then we enter into eternal life. Eternal life began the day Jesus became the Lord and Savior of your life. You stepped into it. You stepped into eternal life. You see, eternity is not some end destination that we're all waiting for. It's not something that we're all waiting to get to. You're here. You're in the midst of it. Because there's no beginning to eternity. There's no end to eternity. God has always been. And he thrusts us right in the middle of it. You are standing in eternity right now. And believe it or not, this is what a part of eternity looks like for all of us. This is what a part of eternity looks like for all of us. You're standing in eternity right now. That means that you're sitting in the midst of it right now. Think about that. And so waiting to die for eternity to begin is the wrong mindset. The correct mindset is to understand that you're in the midst of it right now. That you stepped into eternal life the moment Jesus came into your life. You have been identified as God's perfect craftsmanship. That means he did not make a mistake when he made you. He made you exactly the way he intended to make you. He created you for a purpose. And then when the scripture tells us that he created us in Christ to do the work of the kingdom, to do good works, and I'm going to explain that in just a minute. And now, so if you take that identity in Christ, and you couple that with the fact that you are sitting in eternity right now, your eternal standing is right now, then that means that you were created for this very day. You were created for this very day. You were created for this very point in history, in eternity, to carry out the work of God that he has prepared in advance for you to do. Wow. God saw fit to create you to be here in 2015 to carry out the works of his kingdom that he had prepared in advance long. He forethought this. He thought about it beforehand. And here you are. So why is this important? It's important because once you know who you are, it determines the actions that you take. When you know who you are, it determines the actions that you take. Your identity, once again, remember, your identity brings purpose with it. With who you are in Christ comes this amazing purpose that we're about to dive into. You have been identified and united with Jesus Christ. You've been set apart from all the other people groups on the earth to be used for the eternal and holy purposes of the kingdom, of God's kingdom. All right, now I'm going to say something. All right, now please hear me out. Let me finish completely, okay? Before you start throwing vegetables at me. All right? God needs us. Now wait, just listen. Let's work backwards now, okay? God does not need anything. He does not need anything. Acts 17:25 says that God is not served by human hands as if he needs anything. It goes on to say that because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. God does not need anything. He does not have needs. He is all sufficient. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is everything, everywhere, all the time. He is perfect in who he is. Perfect and holy. He does not lack anything. He is God, the one true, unchanging, ultimate, sustainable God. He will never change, and he does not need anything. He does not need anything to exist. But we see throughout the Word of God that there is a divine partnership that takes place between God and man. And so when I say that God needs us, it's not in terms of if we do anything for him, but that he decided to need us in order to do the thing, to do things with him. He chose to need us so that we could do the things that he's called us to do with him. Amen. So in other words, God does not need us to exist. God needs us to coexist. Amen. We cannot exist with a living God without our cooperation and our partnership with him. There's a big difference. You see, God chose to coexist with mankind. He chose to need mankind to carry out his purposes on the earth. He didn't have to, but he chose to. In other words, listen to this. God needs me to partner with him so that I can be the best husband that I can possibly be to my children. God needs me to partner with him, to coexist with him, where he is my everything, my source, everything that I will ever need, so that I can be the best husband that I can possibly be, empowered by his Spirit. God needs me to partner with him, to coexist with him, to live in perfect unity with him, so that I can be the best pastor that I've been called to be. He chose to include you and I in the greatest rescue mission of all time. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. To be a part of his kingdom, his kingdom work here on this earth, he chooses you. Wow. God decided, he chose to need people. It was his decision to make, and he decided to partner with mankind to fulfill his eternal purposes on this earth. He needs people to cooperate with him in his divine purposes. All of this comes from your identity in Christ. It brings purpose along with it. We're not just identified to be identified with Christ, but identity brings purpose with it. And this is the identity of Christ in you, giving you purpose. I want you to know this morning that you have a purpose in God. He created you for. He created you for good works that he had prepared way in advance for you to do. Do you see this divine partnership taking place? He chose to need us for his purposes. We were created for his purposes. And so I looked up that word works in this passage, in Ephesians 2:10, where it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." And I looked that up in the Greek. And the Greek word there is ergon. Ergon. And it means the business in which one undertakes. So how does that translate? It translates that you were created to be about your Father's business. You were created to be a part of your Father's business on this earth. You were created to be a part of his purposes. You were created to be a part of his plan for this world. You were created in Christ Jesus for a purpose. You have a purpose this morning. Everyone in this room has a purpose. You exist for a purpose. And you exist at this point in history for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then God set up the church through Christ. Set up the church being a body of believers, you and I. And I'm sure you've heard this said so many different ways, but the church is God's number one plan. He did not create a backup plan. The church is God's vehicle to show the world what the kingdom of God looks like. The body of believers, you and I, have this amazing privilege to partner with the God of the universe, who always will be, who is to come, and who is right now, to be a part of his mission on this earth. Amen. He chose to use you, the body of believers, the church, to carry out his mission on this earth, to seek and to save the lost, to bring people into the kingdom of God, people who are separated from him and don't even know that they're separated from him. He chose you, the church, to partner with him, to show the world what true love looks like. That love is not gushy-wushy feelings, but love is sacrificial. Love is selfless. Love is giving to others, giving of yourself to others for the benefit of somebody else. That's true love. Only God's kingdom teaches us what true love is. Only God's kingdom teaches us what it means to love your enemies. Only God's kingdom says, "Blessed are you when people are persecuting you. You're blessed when people persecute you." Only in God's kingdom does he say, "Pray for those who persecute you." It's unlike anything else. It's unlike anything else. And God has chosen you to be a part of his amazing work at this point of eternity. How about that? You have been made for God, by God, for this. You have been made by God for this, to coexist with him, partnering with him for the business of his kingdom. In Genesis 2, we see the unfolding of this eternal partnership take place. And you see Adam, he's created. God creates mankind, and he creates Adam, and he breathes life into his nostrils. He forms him out of the dust and breathes life into his nostrils. And all of a sudden, immediately, God gives Adam responsibility. Right off the bat. He says, Adam, I want you to work the ground that I just created, and I want you to care for it. And then he gave him the responsibility of naming all the animals that he created. So you see right there, there's a partnership, a divine partnership that takes place, that where God and his creation are working together. God and his creation working together. Mankind having a partnership with God. In the garden, everything was perfect. God and creation coexisted with one another. They lived together in perfect harmony, in beauty, in joy, in peace. It was perfect. And we see here, God created man and then partnered with man over what he created. He said, I want you to be a part of this. But man had to cooperate. Man had to cooperate to coexist with God for the purpose that he had been given. And so then we know later, as you read through Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, they fall into sin. Right? They fall into sin. And in a moment, they lost everything. They lost that perfect peace with God. They lost that perfect unity with God. They lost that perfect fellowship with God. In just a moment, when sin entered into their lives, they lost everything they had with God. Everything had been compromised at that very moment. Because of sin. And so it took one man to lose it all. It also took one man by the name of Jesus Christ to get it all back. It took Jesus' death as a man. The Bible says he was fully God, but he was also fully man. It took Jesus' death as a man to restore our identity back with the Creator. To restore our identity. To restore the way He sees us again. To make us whole. To make us new. To restore our original created state. Amen. Jesus had to submit His will to God's. If you remember in the garden, we talked about this back in August. Jesus is in the garden. He's sweating blood. He's praying, God! God! If there's any way, take this cup from me, man. Please just take this. There's got to be some other way. But nonetheless, your will be done, not my will be done. And so in that moment, Jesus submits his will to the Father's will. And so we see here a cooperation of mankind and God working together for the ultimate purpose. And we see that the shedding of his blood for the sins of the world was that ultimate purpose. So Jesus modeled for us the relationship that we have to have with God, that coexistence, that cooperation, that partnership where God and you working together every single day for His purposes. This life is so much more than just what is right in front of us. We are part of eternal things here. The eternal kingdom purposes of God are being worked out on this earth right now, and he says, I want you, my people, to be a part of what I'm doing. Come and join me and be a part of that. So God needed a man to restore everything back. And so this proves that God decided to need people to carry out his purposes. And you look through the Bible and you can try to find somewhere where God did something without the cooperation of a person. Try to find somewhere. He created everything on his own. Yes, he did that without man's cooperation. But man had to cooperate with the stewardship of the earth. He says, I want you to be a part of what I created. Your purpose is now to work the ground, to care for this earth, and then to name the animals that I've created. So he gives Adam purpose. He gives mankind purpose. Instantly. We were created to coexist. We were created to exist with him. And that's why it's important for us to understand that right now, we are right now existing with God in eternity for the purposes of his kingdom. Right now, each and every one of you sitting here listening to my voice has purpose, an amazing purpose. And you may be here this morning and saying, you know what, I'm not worthy. What could I possibly do for God? How could I possibly do anything for God? How can my life, and you get stuck because you identify yourself with your past, and so you can only see yourself from your past, and so you look at what you've done and the things and all the blemishes on your record, and you say, I did this, and I've done this, and I remember I did that. God, I can't do anything for you because I did that, and then I did this, and then I did that, and then I did this, and then I did that, and then I did this. And so all you can see now is your blemished record. When the Bible says that your record has been clean, completely erased, and that stuff does not matter anymore, but the blood of Jesus has covered your life, and you're now seen as white as snow. And so God sets you on this new track. And so you don't have to identify yourself as your past anymore. We're actually told not to. Don't identify yourself with the past, because now you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, you are a son of God. You are a child of God. You are an heir to the throne, and there's an inheritance coming for you. There are so many things that come into your identity in Christ that are applied to you right now. And I'm here to encourage you to walk in them, because God created you for the good works. He created you for his Father's business, to be a part of his business. And he prepared them in advance for you to do. God thought about you. And he said, you know what? This person that I'm creating right now, I'm going to use you for my kingdom. You're going to get to be part of my divine eternal purposes. Changes everything, doesn't it? Changes everything. Changes everything. We are right now existing with him in eternity for the purposes of his kingdom. And you know what? It's going to look like this for the rest of eternity. Well, thank God it's not going to look like this. I'm so glad we won't have these decaying bodies in this decaying earth, right? But what I mean is, what it's going to look like for the rest of eternity is us coexisting with God. Us partnering with him. Us cooperating with God. Partnering with him for his eternal purposes. It's been such a revelation to me to think that I'm living in eternity right now. That I'm in the midst of it. Because there's no beginning and there's no end. God just says here, I'm going to create the earth. And I'm going to create you people. And you guys are going to be a part of my awesome plan. Understand that we're not just drudging through life day after day, awaiting this promised euphoric place called eternity, where we're just going to be chilling in the mansions that are being made for us. Eternity is not the end destination. It's the place you live right now. Eternity is not the end destination. It's where you live right now. And so all these things, your identity in Christ that will last for eternity, are to be activated right now. You have been purposed in Christ Jesus. And the Bible actually even says that it brought him good pleasure to do this, to purpose you in Christ. So what is your purpose today? What is your purpose today? On this day in eternity, what is your purpose? Is it just to make it through life? Or is it to thrive in this life? Working alongside of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to make an eternal impact in the lives of the people who are currently separated from the love and grace of God. Is your purpose today just to get through life, to just get through life and to buckle down and bite the bullet so that God takes us into eternity? Or can you accept the fact that today you are living in eternity, and that the promises of God and the identity you have in Christ apply to you right now? And God says, activate them right now. I have called you to be a part of my eternal purposes here on this earth. I've called you. I've purposed you. I've chosen you to be a part of my eternal purposes. I heard a quote this week that says, if you want to enjoy the journey God is taking you on, then cooperate with him. If you want to enjoy the journey God has you on, then cooperate with him. And that's the truth, isn't it? When you're resting in his grace, when you're resting in his love, it's, you know, we get burned out at times. And I wonder, just food for thought, that we're so burned out because we're trying so hard because we're not resting in his grace. Life is not supposed to be stressful. The Bible says that we do not have to live like that. God chose to partner with people, you and me, the body of Christ, the church, to work with him for his kingdom purposes. God chose to need you at this exact point in history to coexist with him for the purposes of his perfect will. And so the question I want to leave you with this morning is, have you decided to need God? He decided to partner with you. Have you decided to partner with him? Liz, can I ask you and the worship team to come on up, please? And we're going to just finish today with that song you guys did in the first service. That was great. Have you decided to partner with God? God has said, hey, I'm partnering with you. I want you to be a part of my eternal purposes. And there's an invitation to partner with him, to be a part of this, to work with him, to coexist with him, to live with him. Where you're partnering with him and you're saying, hey, God, my life is not my own to live. My life is yours because you gave it to me. You breathed life into my lungs. All that I am, all that I have, is because of you. And Jesus died on the cross to reconcile it all back to you. And so God, my life is not mine to live for my own, but my life is to be used for your purposes, your eternal kingdom purposes. Are you able to say that this morning? God, how am I partnering with you right now? How am I partnering with you right now? And I want you to think about that as we worship and we sing this song, this last song. But I want to say one thing last, and it's sort of like an advertisement, but that's okay. This weekend is our annual boot camp, and what the boot camp is, when we have these every year, is when we invite respected leaders that we know into the church to impart to you. All right, we set these things up for the people, for you. And the purpose of this boot camp is to equip you for the task at hand. This purpose that we just got done talking about, the purpose that God has thrusted us into, these people, we bring these people in to impart and to invest into you, to equip you for the task at hand, this purpose that you are in. And we're bringing a husband and wife team from Elam. And I know that they're awesome people. And they are coming, and they have been seeking the Lord for you, for this church. I know for a fact that they have been seeking the Lord together. As they partner with God to hear his voice, and to bring something to this church and to impart into this church, to bring exactly what God wants to show us. They're going to bring the word of God for you and for me so that we can take what is said and step into a greater capacity to be the people God has called us and created us to be. So I want to encourage you to come this weekend. It'll be a Friday night service at 7:30. And then Saturday morning, we're going to have a 10 o'clock in the morning, and then another session at 11 o'clock. Two short sessions. And then after that, we're providing food for everybody. So just come for the food. No, I'm kidding. As a joke. Now please, I'm asking you, and then they're going to be preaching on Sunday morning. I'm asking you to make this a priority. I'm asking you to make this a priority as you understand your purpose in God, as you understand your purpose for your existence at this very point in history. I'm asking you to make this a priority in your life, to come and be a part so that they can take what they've been seeking God for and impart it and invest it into us. So please come and please receive from God. We all exist to coexist, partnering with God for His eternal purposes. So I want you to just take this time. Let's stand together. And as the worship team just leads us in this very last song, as we're closing up the service, take some time to just be with God and say, God, how am I partnering with you? Just kind of dwell on what's been said this morning. If this is the first time you've ever heard that God has a purpose for your life, let it sink deep, 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 deep down. You were created for. Amen? Amen. Thanks, guys.